Hi, and welcome to the Queensland Seafood Industry Association podcast series. Eric Perez here, CEO of the association, welcoming you back and thanking you for your time. Hope everyone is doing okay through this COVID-19 situation we all find ourselves in. And for those out in the fishing community, not just in Queensland, but across Australia, we hope you're okay and we'll find a way to get over this like everyone else is going to. So today's podcast guest is the chair of the association, Alan Bobberman. How are you, Alan?
Oh, not too bad, thanks, Eric. I'm trying to make the best of a bad situation like everybody else in this crisis period.
So look, let's get to one particular issue as a bit of a summary for the week's antics, I guess, that we've seen in the media. And I'll post on the description of the podcast your response to the Fraser Coast Fishing Alliance in the Great Senior Marine Park region, sort of Fraser Coast area, regarding the reform process. So you've got a few thoughts about what they've had to say. So I'll hand over to you by initially asking you, I guess, what do you think is the ultimate aim of the comments that were made by these groups, Alan?
Well, I wouldn't call them recreational lobbyists. I think I'd call them prophets of doom. There are a lot of responsible thinking at recreational fishers out there. Look, the ultimate aim of these guys is to achieve their hidden agendas. They actually don't want commercial fishing at all.
Yeah, look, this has been the ongoing argument between both sectors, Alan, and at times people have asked the question, or have at least asked me the question, well, what proof do you have that this is the case? And I guess some of the statements that have come out quite clearly in the recent past, the last 2 weeks, from some of these groups suggests exactly what you're saying. They really don't want any form of commercial fishing, which has all of its related impacts. And again, for those listening, I'll put a link to a post that we put up on our website that's done the rounds around the relationship between those groups' conservation interests and the state government. So in your travels, I guess, as a commercial fisherman, and again, we've been asked this over and over again, I'm 100% sure that this industry is not against the undertaking of recreational fishing of any kind anywhere. It's more trying to find out what their contribution to the take of seafood is in this state. And that's been a part, was meant to be a part of the reform process and hasn't really been there. So a lot of the data around what happens in our fisheries is primarily commercial data, because we have to log what we do in logbooks, and now we are monitored through things like vessel monitoring systems or VMS. We can't say the same for the recreational sector, though, can we?
No, not much at all could be said around that, Eric, other than that they're presenting some rubbery figures that maybe there's 943,000 of them. If we go back around, you know, the mid 2019, there was figures bounced around that there were 600,000 of them, that recreational fishing was on the decline. Now it's all of a sudden, it's back up around 943,000. There has been no analysis done at all on how to verify that the amount of those recreational fishers out there are actually participating. Look, until such time as this government or take a step and have some sort of a register to register how many and get an accurate figure of recreational fishermen are out there, I think that they're going nowhere with this. They're modelling a reform around Dunlop figures.
Yeah, some of the data we've had and the growth in 6 years, their estimate is about 301,000 more recreational fishers. If you put that down as a weekly increase over the last 6 years, or when they published that those figures, like you said, in mid to late 2019, they're trying to convince us and the general public that that sector has grown by 965 more participants in rec fishing every week for 312 weeks. I'm not too sure those figures are accurate. How they got to this data is not 100% clear. I mean, you can get the reports off their website, but if you look at the strategy for how they determine how many recreational fishers there are. It's almost like a guesstimate across the state. And that's not accurate, and it's not going to help us with better fisheries management.
No, of course it's not, Eric. And while it continues, you know, using these telephone book numbers that are plucked out of the air to divide up the pie, just remember that they want to maintain a 60% biomass, the correct allocations are never going to be there. This is one of the reasons that the commercial sector are up in arms about. Firstly, this government has got to look at the poor boy approach that they've taken to this whole reform process. You know, they have not really done any analysis or any way to confirm the number of recreational fishermen they've got out there. Secondly, they have done no impact studies on what this is actually going to cost. Not so long back, we can all remember that they introduced 3 net-free zones along the coast of Queensland. They cut off huge areas of coastline to the commercial sector, along with the already established closures that we had. And they did not reduce very little effort from the commercial sector, which meant there was a flow on into other fisheries. And this, and again, is another mismanagement. And now they want to manage another thing by quota and zoning and so forth. No, it's just a total poor boy approach.
So let me ask you, because the question will be asked of us, Alan, what could they have done better, or what would you have proposed would have been a better consultation process with us?
Well, it seems pretty obvious from the releases that have come out from these prophets of doom that they were promised by December 2019, leading up to 2020, that this would be all done and dusted. Well, this sort of confirms a suspicion that the commercial sector has had all along, that these groups have had out-of-session meetings with the government, and they have been promised something where the commercial sector has not been involved in any of these negotiations. And this sort of confirms that they have said, we were promised by 2020 to 2019 Christmas period. Jesus, Eric, if you were working on the shady side of the law, hey, you wouldn't want to rob a bank with this crowd, would you? Hey?
It just seems, with the language that was being used, particularly by a recent news report on Seven Wide Bay from the head of the Fraser Coast Fishing Alliance, that things that have been promised, or the anger in his voice that the deliverable that was coming wasn't delivered, and they mask their anger by saying, oh, we need to help these poor fishermen to become more profitable. Last time I checked, recreational fishing groups are not commercial fishing businesses and have no understanding of how we operate, let alone what we need to be profitable or not. And that's not something that they should be telling us, advising us of the right way to manage our businesses. And it comes back to one piece of work that we asked the government, why wasn't it done? And I can now, as more time goes on, I can see why they didn't do it, is modelling the impacts on us starts asking questions around what is our real economic contribution to the state's economy beyond the catch that we get. So we have other businesses that rely on us being there. We provide seafood to the tourism industry. We provide it to the food service industry in Queensland and across the country. And through, in addition to making income from exports, with the understanding for those that are listening to the podcast that this state does not rely on export for its income in terms of commercial fishing, because the majority of our fishing is still for domestic sale and consumption. The government really doesn't understand Fisheries Queensland doesn't understand the economics of our fisheries beyond the catch sector. And that's been pretty much demonstrated by the fact that they haven't run a regulatory impact statement process. They have absolutely no modelling that they can share with the public on how they've derived what they've derived in terms of the best management outcomes. And they have no idea what all of the sectors take in terms of their catch. So How do you then say to the community, well, we need to then get world's best practice management? I don't see it at the moment.
Look, these guys saying that fishermen are going to be more viable and so forth with in their statements. Look, they haven't got a clue actually of what the costings are for the commercial sector, what we actually do. But they'll stand there and tell you, you know, that we're going to be more viable at the end of this. The commercial sector is not standing up and saying to whoever is making these statements, well, we're not interfering in your business because we don't know how bad you go about your business. So let's just leave it at that. But no, they've got to say that we're more viable, we'll be more viable with what's being proposed here. I'm afraid they've got a slippery grip on things.
Yeah, and it's interesting point you bring up, because it's not, recreational fishers aren't engaged in a business, they're engaged in a leisure activity, and it's an activity that everyone is supportive of, but it's not food production, and that's the difference between them and us.
Yes, there's a big difference between them and us. Look, it's been proven that most of the recreational fishing that occurs in this state all hinges around disposable income. It puts satisfaction into what they are doing because they can afford to go and catch a fish because they enjoy it. But like, on the other hand, there's a guy who says, well, I'm not going fishing, I'll go golfing, and he's a member of a golf club. But it's all disposable income. We pay fees for an authority to harvest wild catch seafood to feed the public with. It's not a leisure activity for us.
And that's a good distinction to make. And, you know, there is economic activity, of course, with recreational fishing, but there is with us as well. And the primary purpose of what we're doing is food production. It's not a leisure activity. It's not the use of discretionary money to go out and be able to go and recreational fish in some instances almost every day. We're out there trying to make a living, and I think it's a critical distinction. And it's been supported by the government's recent announcements that we're critical to staying open and making sure that we can provide seafood to the public. So we could talk forever about those distinctions, but enough, I guess, in terms of a summary, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, is that we again need to say the future is a multiple use of the resource, and we need everyone needs to know what the impacts of each of the sectors are. And it appears to me, and I haven't been in this game for as long as you have, Alan, I've been in just on a decade, and from what I've seen of fisheries management in this state, they still don't want to take that next step to really ask the question, what is the impact on the resource from the recreational sector? Until they do that honestly, we are managing through guesstimates.
Eric, I think you could go one step further and say it's management by imagination.
Yeah, yes, that's another way to say it, yes.
Well, it is imagination if you're pulling figures out the air, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Alan, look, thank you for the chat this afternoon. For those listening, I've been speaking to the chair of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, Mr. Alan Bobberman. Thank you, Alan.
Right, thanks, Eric.